You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This week's issue is an amalgamation of old and new. We've gathered up some of our favorite stories from the past issues, and we're adding a couple of new stories as well. So what do we call our theme this week? Well, Thanksgiving. It is the holiday weekend, after all. Our cover story gives thanks to some local heroes honored by the Red Cross this summer. Amanda Nimmer comments on the best part of Thanksgiving, the food. Meteorologist Brittany Rouleau is back and ready for winter. She tells us the different types of snowflakes. Joanne Krulotz joins us twice this week. Gun deer hunting season is wrapping up. She has a story on deer donations. And later she joins us with a look at the state Christmas tree. Turkey and football make for a drowsy day, but Civic Media's Maddie Schaefer tells us you may still be out of sorts due to the time change. And Savannah Tomei Olson explores the sale of a Madison company. Pete Schwaba has his classic cinema pick of the week. That is the quintessential Thanksgiving movie. And later, Terry Barr sets the table with a musical feast. This weekend features mini parades on TV and, of course, football games. Have you ever thought about the amount of training that goes into all those bands marching in parades or creating those awe-inspiring halftime shows? Civic Media's Connie Fellman takes us to a marching band showcase.
The weather didn't feel much like a crisp autumn night at a high school football game.
Okay, we are not locked.
But it sure sounded like one. That's the sound of nearly 400 high school musicians coming together.
Each school has their own type of style in their how they march, so I think it's pretty unique that we get to see like the other schools and how they perform.
Green Bay West High School sophomore Xavier Cineceros is performing for the second time in the 12th annual Marching Band Showcase.
I'm in 10th grade. I play the clarinet.
The Green Bay Marching Band Showcase is a chance for all four Green Bay high schools to perform their homecoming halftime shows, not as a sideshow for a football crowd, but for an audience all
we
their own.
We wanted an audience for our marching bands that was there just for them. They could have their own day, and people were listening and being attentive.
Preble High School Director of Bands Megan Sweeney says preparations for the homecoming halftime shows start months in advance, coming up with a theme, finding the right music, making sure that music is playable while doing this.
Remembering and doing so many things at one time. March forward, backwards, side to side, diagonally, know where you're going. We have probably like 45 different formations in our show.
It's a challenge, Cineceros knows well.
You have to understand where you need to go and also play. So it takes a lot of practice.
That practice begins before the students are even back to school in the fall.
We start during the summer. Lots of hours, lots of planning, lots of preparation, lots of sweat.
Yeah.
Lots of stress, but what the kids gain from it is amazing.
Danielle Scherer is the music educator at Green Bay West High School, the proud host of this year's showcase.
As it rotates from school to school every year, and this is West's turn. Okay. We're excited to show off our brand new football field.
Scherer says what the kids gain through all that hard work is more than just a chance to perform in front of their peers.
What the kids gain from it is amazing. They gain leadership skills, collaboration, grit, determination, perseverance, and just watching these kids grow and become more confident as they go through the season it's worth it.
Certainly worth more than one 15-minute performance during a homecoming football game.
And once we started that, it was such a positive experience that it really has just raised the bar for all the marching bands, and we all, you know, have these creative shows, and it's great because our families and friends come out to see us.
Gloria Mikolajczyk is one of those family members.
It's my daughter, her daughter, her daughter, so, and then now my great-grandchildren.
Are playing in the bands?
Yes.
And she says she wouldn't miss it.
Because I'm great-great-grandma. They are very talented kids. That's what's amazing about this.
Talented? I'd say. In fact, I don't remember my marching band sounding like this when I was in high school. in Green Bay, I'm Connie Feldman for New Wisco Weekend.
To winter weather, no two flakes are alike is entirely true. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains how many different types of snowflakes there really are.
There are 35 different types of snowflakes, which can be further divided into 121 subtypes. While snowflakes can look similar, certain snowflakes only occur under specific temperatures and humidities. Since we don't have time to get into all of them, they are broken down into four main types. Plates, columns, needles, and dendrites. Here's how it works. When temperatures are in the upper 20s to low 30s, the snowflakes you're seeing are called thin plates, which look like they're cold. They're thin, plate-like crystals with six broad arms that form a star-like shape. Their faces are often decorated with amazingly elaborate and symmetrical markings. And if temperatures drop a bit cooler, let's say in the low to mid-20s and it's snowing, these crystals are called thin needles. Again, they look just like they're named, with long, slender crystals. And with these, it takes a little longer to pile up some significant accumulations. They're small and easy to miss, and they look like small bits of white hair on your sleeve. But when the temperatures get even colder, into the upper teens, hollow columns are spinning through the sky. It's that fluffy snow that's perfect for snow angels. And the flakes turn quite pretty when temperatures drop even further and hover in the low teens. These are called the stellar plates. They pile up quickly, and they look more and more like the shape of a star. But the absolute sweet spot is when temperatures are in the single digits. The most detailed dendrites will dazzle you. And if you catch some of these on your hair or a dark coat, snap a picture, zoom in on that detail. You'll see a six-sided structure with elaborate and nearly symmetrical branches. So with all of these different types of snowflakes, forecasting accumulations in a specific storm, forecasters need to consider the snow ratio. For example, let's take 1 inch of water. Depending on the temperatures and the humidity, how much will that pile up to? Well, with the wet snow and the temperatures in the low 30s, you'll get only 5 inches. But if temperatures are in the teens, the fluffier, lighter type is falling. And these accumulations rise to nearly 20 inches. Remember, we just used 1 inch of water. And if it's windy, snowflakes can fracture, losing their lacy structure and leading to lower accumulations. So the deep cold, in general, promotes higher snow totals. And now you know it's true. No two snowflakes are alike. So stand out in life's weather, will ya? For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Whether you go traditional with turkey and all the sides, or if you do something different like my family used to do and have homemade pizza, Thanksgiving is all about the food. Here's Amanda Nimmer.
Who's ready to stuff their face? Listen, we all can say Thanksgiving is about giving thanks, being thankful, finding things that you're grateful for, yada, yada, yada. Yes, that's fine and well. However, a lot of us know that we anticipate this holiday for the food, and specifically for the side dishes. Yeah, turkey's great, ham's pretty good too, but those side dishes, you might get them once, twice, maybe four times a year max. That's Thanksgiving. Oh, they're so good. In fact, according to a recent study by Campbell, you know, the soup makers, for a third year in a row, Americans have declared that sides are the star of any Thanksgiving table. And I agree. In fact, 56% of people prefer eating side dishes over turkey, which I can understand to an extent because, you know, maybe Aunt Cheryl made it a little too dry this year. Or it's undercooked, not seasoned enough. There's multiple things that can go wrong. But when it comes to those side dishes, some of them are savory, some of them are sweet, some of them just fill you up and they don't make you sleepy. Oh, yeah. That's Thanksgiving in a nutshell. So what about Wisconsin? What in Wisconsin is the top side dish for Thanksgiving? Well, this answer varies greatly depending on the year that you Google it because the studies change constantly, and so do the results. In fact, one year, it was said that baked potato was the top side dish for Thanksgiving, which I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a baked potato at a Thanksgiving table in a long time. It's normally mashed potatoes. Another said sweet potato casserole, brown berry stuffing, pistachio fluff. That one, That one threw me off. I'm not sure that was a genuine study. Snickers salad. But in 2024, what are they claiming is the number one side dish for Thanksgiving? The green bean casserole. And I can get behind that. Because if you make it just right, I mean, if you make it from scratch even, oh, it is deliciousness. Now, in America, the number one side dish is stuffing. And I'm assuming they probably mean like the homemade stuffing, you know, where it's stuffed in the turkey. Do people do that still? Do they still stuff the stuffing in the turkey to cook with the turkey? Or just that, is that the reason why the turkey's dry? Anyway, stuffing and green bean casserole are way up there. But we as Wisconsinites, we also include cranberry sauce because we are the cranberry capital of the world, baby. But no matter what the family argument this year is, started by Uncle Greg, of course, just know that you can always steer it away from awkward conversations and straight to side dishes, and let everyone argue about food for a change. Or pie, because apparently Wisconsin's number one favorite pie is apple pie, if you can believe the studies. Stuffing my face with side dishes and many upon many deviled eggs from New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. Enjoy your meals, enjoy your holiday, and there you go.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging hunters to donate their Wisconsin harvested deer through the DNR's Deer Donation Program. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz has the story.
The program helps stock food pantries and supports residents in need throughout the state. According to data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, more than 700,000 Wisconsin residents received food assistance in 2024, and demand is expected to rise. Since the program began in 2000, hunters have donated more than 100,000 deer, totaling over 4 million pounds of ground venison to help Wisconsinites in need. Wisconsin has a network of venison donation partners, including county land and water conservation departments, food pantries, charitable organizations, USDA Wildlife Services, and participating meat processors who all help implement and administer the program. Deer harvested outside Wisconsin cannot be donated. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services requires deer harvested in certain counties to be tested for chronic wasting disease before or at the time of donation. Hunters interested in donating a Wisconsin harvested deer to the DNR's Deer Donation Program should follow these steps. Field dress the deer. Please handle the carcass as if it were destined for your own table. A couple of bags of ice placed in the cavity will help preserve the carcass in warm weather. Register the deer through Game Reg. Please note the registration confirmation number and keep it on hand when dropping off the deer. If your deer was harvested from a county that requires CWD testing, please ensure you complete the required CWD testing before or at the time of donation. An up-to-date list can be found on the Deer Donation Program webpage. Contact a participating processor before dropping off the deer to make sure they have space to accept it. If donating a deer being tested for CWD, inform the processor and provide the CWD barcode number. The processor will not distribute the deer until the results are known. Hunters and non-hunters may also support the Deer Donation Program through a monetary donation. Visit Wisconsin's Deer Donation Program webpage to learn more about the program.
That's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz. When we come back, a marketing advertising professional and a shower curtain ring salesman journey home for Thanksgiving. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. You can also find us at civicmedia.us. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, what effect did the recent time change have on your body? And the learning tree. First, here's Pete Schwabe's classic movie pick of the week.
Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
This week's film could be considered a classic's classic. The comedy Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, starring Steve Martin and John Candy, came out in 1987. The film perfectly encapsulates the idea of going home for Thanksgiving in a film that makes the main characters count their blessings over the course of the movie. Steve Martin plays Neil Page, an ad executive caught up in his career and his life in the suburbs. John Candy plays Del Griffith, a nomadic shower curtain ring salesman who loves his customers and moves his belongings around in a big chest. The story is set into motion when Griffith inadvertently jumps into a cab that was hailed by Page, setting into motion the beginning of a holiday travel headache and the start of an unlikely friendship. As luck would have it, Martin and Candy end up sitting next to each other on the same flight.
I never did introduce myself. Del Griffith, American Light and Fixture, Director of Sales, Shower Curtain Ring Division. I sell shower curtain rings. Best in the world. And you are?
Neil Page.
Neil Page. Pleased to meet you, Neil Page. So what do you do for a living, Neil Page?
Marketing.
Marketing. Super. Super. Fabulous. Isn't that nice?
Look, I don't want to be rude, but I'm not much of a conversationalist, and I'd really like to finish this article. A friend of mine wrote it, so...
Don't let me stand in your way. Please don't let me stand in your way. The last thing I want to be remembered as is an annoying blabbermouth. You know, nothing grinds my gears worse than some chowderhead who doesn't know when to keep his big trap shut. If you catch me running off with the mouth, just give me a poke in the chops.
The two iconic actors have unbelievable chemistry as they drive each other crazy while traveling across America, experiencing one setback after another. Nowadays, it seems unlikely you would ever share a hotel room, much less a bed with a complete stranger, but the film makes it plausible due in part to an absolutely brilliant script written by John Hughes, who also directed. The story was inspired by Hughes' own struggles to get back home to Chicago when he was a young copywriter. Despite Hughes thinking Martin and Candy were hilarious, he was not getting the reaction out of them that he wanted when they met Owen, the young man charged with driving Neil and Dell to Wichita to catch a train in the back of his pickup truck in the freezing cold. Hughes told actor Dylan Baker to spit in his hand right before shaking Steve Martin's hand when they met. Martin had no idea it was coming, and as they shake hands, his reaction was genuine and pure gold. Fun fact, Hughes initially wanted to cast Tom Hanks in the role of Neil Page and John Travolta as Del Griffith. Never mind that it only got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes and that 8% of the critics are completely misguided, audiences loved it, and it stood the test of time as a feel-good holiday favorite. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is this week's classic movie pick of the week. Happy Thanksgiving, Northeast Wisconsin. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
It happens twice a year. The clocks change and everybody gets discombobulated. Civic Media's Maddie Schaefer has a story on just how those clock changes affect your body.
Earlier this month, daylight saving time came to an end, leading to much darker evenings and the start of new routines. But did you know that the switch between standard time and daylight saving time has impacts? Daylight saving time is a period of the year between spring and fall when clocks are set an hour ahead of standard time. Standard time was first adopted in 1883 in the United States, and daylight saving time was adopted in the U.S. through the Calder Act in 1918 during World War I. Daylight saving time was abolished after the war, but was reestablished in 1966 through the Uniform Time Act and is still in effect today in most of the United States. A recent Stanford Medicine study that looked at circadian rhythms found that the switch between standard time and daylight saving time has negative health impacts and that staying in standard time would benefit most people by decreasing rates of stroke and obesity. Psychotherapist at Tamarack Health, Tom Undeen, says that he also believes the time switch does have an impact on health.
I think it affects people, especially on the margins. If you're already having difficulty with sleep, it certainly doesn't help there to have those changes. It can lead to increased stress and anxiety. And disturbed sleep patterns in general just affect our overall mood and can lead to more insomnia, difficulty falling asleep, you know, difficulty getting up. And I think it affects people.
It's an ongoing debate on if the switch should be eliminated. Wisconsin introduced a bipartisan bill in April to eliminate daylight saving time and establish a year-round standard time. However, the bill has not advanced in the legislature. Undeen recommends adjusting your bedtime and giving yourself an extra 30 minutes to manage the time change better, as well as taking naps, getting more sunlight, and avoiding alcohol, caffeine, and screens before bedtime. I'm Maddie Schaefer.
Thanksgiving weekend, a weekend when many people put up and decorate their Christmas trees. Now, in Wisconsin, the Capitol tree lighting ceremony will be December 4th. Joanne Krulatz reports on this year's tree.
Governor Tony Evers announced the Learning Tree as the theme for the 2025 State Capitol Holiday Tree. Each year, the Capitol Holiday Tree is decorated with handmade ornaments from children, students, and families from every corner of the state. This year, students are encouraged to make ornaments that reflect what Wisconsin's educators and all those who help keep Wisconsin schools running mean to them. Students are asked to make ornaments from non-breakable material. They must be strong enough to hold up during shipping and to be handled while the tree is being decorated. It is recommended that students do not use fragile items or paper cutouts that may tear easily, and that ornaments are 4 to 6 inches in size and are made from a color that contrasts with the color of the tree so they can easily be seen and enjoyed by all visitors. Please attach a 10-inch loop of ribbon or string from which each ornament will hang. Please note that ornaments will not be returned. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story on the Red Cross's local heroes. We'll be right back. Weekend. For WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. In August, the Northeast Wisconsin chapter of the American Red Cross honored who they call local heroes. Each of the individuals or groups honored made a positive impact on the lives of others by going above and beyond to build better communities. Northeast Wisconsin chapter of the American Red Cross Executive Director, Rebecca Rockhill.
We are so grateful to have heroes in our community that are really watching out for the other people, that are there when they're needed, that are just jumping in whenever the moment calls and are taking care of our community. And I think it's important that we recognize these individuals, not just to give them recognition, but to show the community how others just step up when needed.
The American Red Cross chooses its heroes across several categories. The honorees are selected based on the degree to which their actions uphold the values of the Red Cross's humanitarian mission and leave a lasting impact on our communities. Jeff Robas is the Red Cross's Blood Services Hero for 2025. Robas lives in Algoma in Kewaunee County, and he makes it a habit to donate platelets to the Red Cross every 2 weeks for an average of 22 to 24 platelet donations every single year. And he does it for a very personal reason.
10 years ago, our daughter had cancer. She made it. It was close. And I said, I will do whatever it takes to help people with cancer. And this is one thing I can do, and I think more people can do it. And I appreciate the people. I'm one of many that are there giving platelets, and I appreciate everyone that does, because we all know somebody that has cancer, and every one of them giving platelets helps. I know blood helps, plasma helps, platelet helps. And there's just a small percentage that give platelets. And I know with my platelets, I don't know, it helps anybody with cancer. And I really, once we experienced with our daughter having cancer, I knew I had to do something.
Robas says he drives 30 minutes every 2 weeks to donate his platelets, and he has done so for a decade. 2025's Disaster Relief Hero was nominated for helping to avoid a possible disaster before it could even begin. Dan Kane is the Emergency Management Director for Brown County Emergency Management. He was instrumental in preparing the greater Green Bay area for the massive influx of people when the 2025 NFL Draft came to town, and how that would affect the normal operations of disaster relief in the area.
What ended up taking form was a lot of different partners that were brought to the table for this one event. And we talk a lot about public safety because, of course, those are the ones in front of everything, right? It starts with, ends with life safety. But there's so many other players that come into focus when you have an event like this size that needs this much coordination. So what our office was able to do, what I helped lead as part of the public safety planning team, was to get all the other external stakeholders involved, such as the Red Cross, one of our biggest partners in this, in terms of, we don't have any hotel space where usually we put all these people, get them a hotel voucher or something, they're all full, so where do you put them? So we need shelters stood up ahead. We need to pre-think these things ahead of time and think down the line of what could happen and what are the ripple effects that could come from an event like this. And what resources are already drained that we would normally be able to pull from, but now we can't because of this event that's going on. And so how do you then think 2, 3, 4 steps ahead? And so that's really what we did in the year leading up to this, was just pre-think these things through, bring the right people to the table, make sure the resources were there. And then during the event was make sure that they were staffed, staged, and informed and ready. So if we needed to call upon them, it was quick, it was rapid, it was immediate. There wasn't a lot of thought needed. We could just respond and go.
Kane said outside of the NFL draft, Brown County Emergency Management works closely with the Red Cross to help in local disaster relief like fires.
We have ways that are built in for these things to be able to happen organically and naturally. Really, we would more get involved if we had something that was maybe a rural fire department didn't have the staff to be able to handle it, or it's maybe an apartment complex or a senior complex. There was some other issue that created some hardships that was beyond just a normal, maybe there's some access functional needs folks, or we just need some extra help and support, or maybe it's a longer term deal, and so we have to maybe help out that way. But I would say, a couple times a year at least, we're usually, my office will get a phone call and, hey, what do you think? And we start having conversations and we start talking to our partners at the county. Mm-hmm. What can we do to help support shelters and operations? Are there pet needs that might need to be there? Beyond that, okay, now they've got a shelter, they've got a place to go. We've had one time where we had to stand up a multi-agency resource center, it's called. And so the Red Cross is pivotal in that because we try to get all the things that people might have lost in a fire, all your documents and all your your valuables and things, food. How do we get these people everything back together? How do we recover as quickly as possible, get them back to a new normal, if you will? So we try to bring all the resources to them in a one-stop shop, so they're not having to make 15 different trips to different things to make themselves whole. So Red Cross is one of those key partners in that as well.
Our next hero comes from Fond du Lac County. The emergency response hero is the Fond du Lac Fire Rescue Team. Fond du Lac Fire Chief Eric Gerritsen said part of working with the Red Cross is also supporting the Red Cross.
Every year we have a big brat fry that benefits American Red Cross, and we give all the proceeds that we make from that brat fry, which is a one-day event. And we've been very successful because the community supports us, so we have decided to support Red Cross through that.
Gerritsen added that in addition to the yearly brat fry, the fire department also organizes 4 blood drives a year at the fire station.
We know that Red Cross has a very important job. They fill that void of getting blood to people. We know there's a national shortage of that. Also with disaster relief, after the fire relief, smoke detectors, CO detectors, they help, all those programs help, and that all directly affects our department. So we stand behind Red Cross and we try to help them as much as we can.
Now, he says as fire chief, he's in a unique position to be able to see the Red Cross in action.
Sure. Not only disaster when we have big events, like we've had a couple of floods in the city, they have come out with that, but actually every single fire that we have after the fire, we utilize Red Cross for homing those people so they can get a place to sleep if their house is uninhabitable for the night or even for a couple nights. So we'll call Red Cross. They're always there for us. They're always, they'll give gift cards. They'll put people up in hotels overnight for a few nights if needed. So they're always there for our community. So we thought, let's give back. Let's utilize the community. They come out in full force when we have our Brat Fry. They support us, and we make a lot of funds for the Red Cross just in that one day for that Brat Fry.
So Gerritsen says the Fond du Lac Fire Rescue's next Brat Fry to support the Red Cross will be in May of 2026. He said they try to schedule it to be the first Brat Fry of the season. The next local hero for the American Red Cross is honored not for her blood donations, although she said she does donate blood regularly to the Red Cross, but rather for her quick thinking and action. Dominique McQueen lives in Green Bay, but she works in Wausau as a public defender, and that's where her story of being the Good Samaritan hero for 2025 starts, in the Marathon County Courthouse.
Well, I was in court one day, and there was a gentleman in the gallery, and we thought at first he was sleeping. He was kind of making some snoring noises, and the judge thought he was sleeping. The judge banged his gavel, and the DA was like, "I don't think he's okay." She's like, "Can I go approach him?" And then she did, and she's like, "I don't think he's okay. We need to call 911." So I jumped up and asked her to help me get him down to the floor, and I performed CPR on him until court security could get there.
To put it bluntly, Dominique McQueen, through fast thinking and knowledge of CPR, saved the man's life.
At a previous job, I got CPR certified, so that's how I knew how to do that. It was terrifying, and I still don't know how I did it. I just acted, and afterwards, I'm pretty sure I was in shock for just a couple hours after that. So
McQueen advises everyone to take a course in CPR.
I would ask everybody that is able to get CPR certified, because honestly, it's something you hope you never have to use, but if you're ever in that situation, you want to be able to do it.
The final group of local heroes for the Northeast Wisconsin chapter of the American Red Cross are the youth and young adult heroes for 2025. They are the students at Oshkosh North Communities Program in Oshkosh. Teacher Richard Lieb said their story started when the students were discussing current events, specifically the wildfires that devastated much of California. The students wanted to help, so they held a Cutest Pets fundraiser. That event raised almost $1,500 for the Red Cross to help the victims of the wildfires in California.
But I think what's really cool about it is that not only did we raise money, but I think we not only started to understand what the Red Cross really does and the impact it does have, and we were able to tell that story for the Red Cross. So we had 80 kids being the megaphone of the American Red Cross.
The students of communities at Oshkosh North worked quickly to raise that money when it was needed.
I think we tried to turn this around in about a week and a half. So we pushed projects aside because it's the timeliness, and we know, understand the news cycle. You know, things come and go, and we wanted to hit when, you know, it was still on the headlines. And then we reached out to the American Red Cross here in, you know, Northeast Wisconsin. And the next thing you know, we had Rebecca, you know, the president, coming in and meeting with us, and away we went with it.
Lieb added that helping the Red Cross was a way to also show how much students care and want to do good in their communities.
For organizations like the Red Cross to open their doors to young adults and just giving them a shot, I just appreciate that they were able to do that, and because I just think that our generation, everybody thinks they just stare on their phones, and just it's our program's all about giving kids a shot, and we gave the shot, and American Red Cross gave these kids a shot, and we were able to make an impact.
The American Red Cross itself could be considered a hero. It shelters, feeds, and provides comfort to victims of disasters, supplies about 40% of the nation's blood, teaches skills that saves lives, distributes international humanitarian aid, and supports veterans, military members, and their families. The Red Cross is a nonprofit organization, and it depends upon volunteers and the generosity of the American public to deliver its mission. For more information, visit redcross.org, or you can follow them on social media. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. A Wisconsin company is being sold in what seems to be the biggest deal in Madison history. Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
It's now confirmed that Exact Sciences is being bought out and the price tag is huge. Abbott Laboratories makes medications, diagnostic tests, baby formula, and medical devices. They're buying Exact Sciences for a cool $23 billion. Exact Sciences is best known for making Cologuard, the at-home colon cancer screening, but they have other diagnostic tests, including a blood test that can detect multiple types of cancers. They're expected to bring in $3 billion in revenue by the end of the year. Exact Sciences first moved to Madison in 2009. The company employs about 3,000 people here, and executives say Exact Sciences will, quote, maintain its presence in Madison, end quote. The Greater Madison Chamber of Commerce says the deal shows Madison has the resources, research, infrastructure, and talent needed to be a big biotech hub. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Coming up next, Terry Barr lays out a Thanksgiving feast for our ears. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and here's lead correspondent Terry Barr with a musical feast.
If you are heading over the river and through the woods, or are hosting family and friends at your home, music can help set the tone. So we cooked up this delicious list, starting with tradition. It's Bing Crosby, and it seems no holiday is complete without him. Luckily, Thanksgiving gets its due with I've Got Plenty to Be Thankful For. Here's a taste.
I've got plenty to be thankful for. No private car, no caviar, no carpet on my floor. Still I've got plenty to be thankful for. I've got eyes to see with, ears to hear with, arms to hug with, lips to kiss with, someone to adore. How could anybody ask for more? My needs are small. I buy them all at the 5 and 10 cent store. Oh, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Timeless classic from Bing Crosby and I've Got Plenty to Be Thankful For. Hopefully disagreements aren't on your plate this holiday, but you can always turn to Johnny Cash for a reminder of what should really matter. Our five-course menu of music continues with Thanksgiving Prayer.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator. Now when Thanksgiving is due, and this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind.
That's Johnny Cash and Thanksgiving Prayer. Next, she wanted this to be a simple sentiment. And Natalie Merchant explained during a VH1 Storyteller special, she's proud of her kind and generous song of thanks.
Thank you.
your little taste of Kind and Generous by Natalie Merchant. Our five-course menu of music turns to Give Thanks and Praises. It's Bob Marley's way of saying give thanks on high for all the gifts we've been given.
Give thanks and praises to the Most High. Give thanks and praises so high. He will not deceive us, my brethren. He will only lead us ahead. Oh, take that veil from off of your eyes. Look into the future of real life. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
And that's Bob Marley with Give Thanks and Praises. Well, it's time for the final course on our menu and a song to make you laugh. It's the self-written tune celebrating the holidays' MVPs, turkey, potatoes, and the post-feast nap. I'm Terry Barr, wishing you a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy Adam Sandler and the Thanksgiving song.
This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Oh, I love you. Love to eat turkey, 'cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, 'cause it's turkey to eat. So good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyways. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend for Thanksgiving. New Wisco Weekend is written, directed, and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Connie Fellman, Brittany Merlot, Joanne Krulatz, Maddie Schaefer, Savannah Tomei Olson, Pete Schwabba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.